Your goal is always to build your email list, connect with your ideal client. That's it. If you make money off of a summit, you're ahead.
All right, we've got lead generation and strategist Jenny Wright in the house. She has no broken ribs. I have three, so I guess that makes her a little bit more than me right now.
I'm a little bit more flexible at the moment, being able to move and not be in pain.
Yep. And just as God took a rib from Adam and gave it to Eve, I feel like I'm missing a few ribs right now too. So God, give them back. I can use those back. Anyway, it's going to be that kind of a day. I haven't gotten a good sleep in about a week since I broke these ribs. But when Jenny reached out to me and I started seeing everything she's doing with her podcast, with lead gen, AI, I was like, Jenny, we got to talk. We got to discuss. You got to coach me up here.
Absolutely.
So Jenny, let's talk about lead generation and AI. What was the moment for you where you started using AI into your list building, your lead gen? You're like, wow, this is new. This is important.
The first thing I ever used was Otter.ai. Actually, that was the first thing that I played with because it was giving me access to being able to use create show notes more quickly and add transcriptions, which was something I was going after in terms of like SEO. So it was assisting in the SEO space for like the podcast. And then we had great lead magnets and I was offering the transcripts and nuggets that we were getting from that as a lead gen.
Can I ask you something about lead magnets? Because
yeah,
I hear this all the time. People are like, oh, well, you build your list with a lead magnet. In my experience, 90% of lead magnets don't work. They're crap. What are some lead magnets that you've had personal success with?
Almost none. Almost all lead magnets suck. They really do. The best thing that you can have is a complementary lead magnet to something that you're already doing really, really well. So if you are solving problems on your podcast, the lead magnet should be something that enhances that problem-solving quality that your podcast achieves, or it should be something that feels really complementary to sort of how you're already working. And it really depends. I will tell you that anything that doesn't have an interactive component ends up on somebody's desktop and never gets touched again. So creating interactivity is super important. Making it, you know, short and sweet, but to the point, great. When I say short and sweet, that does not mean three sentences. By the way, I actually got that as a lead magnet once. I opened up the PDF and it was three sentences. Thank you for that awesome lead magnet. But if we're really talking about it, it was brutal. I actually reached out to them. I said, I downloaded your lead magnet. It was three sentences long. Can I offer you a free complimentary call to help you make this better? And they took me up on it. I couldn't believe it. But the best thing that you can do in terms of lead generation isn't necessarily a lead magnet because they're so slow, especially if you're doing organic. The best thing you can do is do lead gen events, challenges, summits, podcasting even. But you need to create a lead gen event, which creates a list injection.
Okay, so let's talk about the event because, I mean, that sounds great. And I actually was talking to Noah Kagan about this a few weeks ago. He just wrote his book, Million Dollar Weekend. And so one of the things that I've struggled with personally, Jenny, is I'll come up with this great idea. This is going to be my event. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. Everyone's going to love it. And I spent all this time to build out my funnel and my landing pages and the curriculum and all that. And then I start messaging people and nobody's buying it. We don't want that. Right. So how do you go about actually not only developing the event, but make sure that people sign up for it? What's your first step?
My first step is reverse engineering it from something you're already doing, hopefully successfully. If you have no product, like program, product, or service that you're offering successfully, that changes the course of things. But if you already have a program or a product that is working well when you can get sales for it, then you reverse engineer it into your lead gen, into your list building. So you build a 5-day challenge around it with a sales event built in, or you build a summit around it with, you know, a VIP package that includes an upsell into whatever it is that you're offering. And that's the best way. It's a reverse engineering. If you don't have like a completely successful offer or it's an untested offer, you're going to be doing some, you know, a little bit of research. I would recommend doing some beta research. Also, build a ChatGPT around it. Feed it all your stuff. This is what I do, at least now with my product creation, is I'll feed ChatGPT a ton of stuff and information about me, all my writings and so on and so forth. Everybody does that. And then I will tell it that it is like the most masterful product creator in the world kind of thing, right? A la, you know, Amy Porterfield style. What can you, you know, what can you tell me? What should I create based on this and based my, on my ideal client? Pops out 20 or 30 different things. And I start building from there.
Sure. Yeah, no, and certainly AI, ChatGPT is a big way of getting there. What's an example of an event that you've seen be very successful? Like, for example, if I run a podcast agency, I launch an automate podcast for clients, which is what my business is. I might put on a seminar about how to get great guests on your show or something like that, right? Am I hearing you correctly that there's some overlap? Should there be a feed-in? What would you say is a good way to go about doing that?
If I was doing it specifically for you, I would do a 5-day challenge with the fifth day being the sales opportunity. So it's 5 days of solving problems, hyping people up, overcoming objections naturally during those days. By the way, that's like an hour a day that you're doing. And then on day five, you're really talking about your offer. That's probably about an hour and a half, and you're putting them into your program, right? Or your product. And that's going to work well for lead gen. It's going to work well for connecting with your ideal client, building up trust and so on and so forth, showing your abilities to coach and create and assist, and also pre-sell your product based on just the experience people are having with you.
Dig it. So 5 days, I'm hearing, when I hear 5 days, I hear, hey, we want to keep it tight and concise. We don't want this really long, drawn out, like
no
semester at school type of program. We want to keep it tight.
We're talking like, 30, 40 minutes tight every day for 5 days. You can do it as low as 3 days if you're very masterful in supporting people and getting people on side really quickly, because you have to break down people's objections. You have to then build them back up and give them the hope for the future of whatever it is that you're offering. Then you got to show them how it works. Then you got to offer it to them, right? And if you're able to do that in 3 days, great. Not everybody can. Sometimes it takes five. So if you want to sell that product, that would be a great way to do it. 3-day seminar or 5-day seminar, challenge, whatever you want to call it. And that would work. Having a one-off workshop is also good, but you're going to see less list building, less interaction, less outcome.
Where does the list building come in? Because when you say list building, you mean you're referring to
registration,
names, and email. when you talk list building, you're talking about building up your email list, right? Which is basically where digital sales happen. Where does the list building come in? Is that someone who enrolls in the challenge? Is that maybe additional stuff that comes in through the challenge? When do you start actually focusing on the emails?
You're always focusing on, well, the thing is, everybody seems to focus on the event side of things. You should be I'll just preemptively say you should be focusing on this all the time. But when it comes to a challenge, you're looking at lead gen in terms of enter your name and email to get access to this free challenge. Super awesome. You can buy the recordings and so on and so forth. And this little extra awesome thing that Mark's going to, give you. And you've got this great 5-day challenge. And at the end of it, you're going to make your offer. And to get that in front of as many people as possible, you're going to obviously email your list. You're going to share it on social. The best bet is to create what I call like your affiliate army. And everybody that you know that would be willing to talk about it, including previous and current clients, could share that as well. Hey, you know what? My like Mark, the guy who helped me get everything in order with my podcast and is making it super successful, is hosting this 5-day challenge. You should go check it out. I love it. And so on and so forth, right? And that's really great, because then you're using other people's audiences to grow. And it's already a warm audience because people are talking about you in a positive way.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I agree with all that. Let's assume someone's starting out without the affiliate army. They don't have a large email list. How are you actually getting people to sign up in the first place? Are you just like going to LinkedIn and DMing people? Are you running Facebook ad campaigns? Are you doing guest podcast appearances? Like, how do we actually get the momentum going? You know, because one of the commonly held beliefs that I run into a lot with people is, if I build it, they will come. If I build it, I'm special, I'm different, people will come. That is not what happens. It's not what happens. So where are you seeing success in actually getting people to sign up from someone who, let's say, doesn't have a big built up digital presence?
That changes things. It does have a different effect, right? And I've got a ton of experience working in this space of helping people from fresh. I would recommend then not doing a 5-day challenge unless you're established and you've built that audience. I'd flip the script and have that person do a summit, a 3-day or a 4-day online summit where you have 25 to 30 speakers who are participating. then you're getting in front of those ideal audiences because those people are actually promoting for you because they are on the event. Then run your 5-day challenge or your 3-day seminar, and then you can offer your program, product, or service, or go into a webinar series. So if you're not comfy doing a 5-day challenge or a 3-day webinar, or sorry, 3-day series, then you can start doing webinars, but you have to do them consecutively, like one every 10 days, but that's more drawn out. So everything is either speed to delivery and speed to action, or it's comfortability and, you know, what you feel comfortable doing and sort of that sort of thing. So it all depends. But a summit's better if you don't have an audience.
Well, the main difference in the summit is you're inviting in a bunch of people, a bunch of guest hosts, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I was actually just recently invited to be a member of a summit. And then it was supposed to be tomorrow. And they just messaged me today and said, hey, we didn't have enough people signing up. Thanks anyways. I was like, oh.
Seriously?
I'm very serious. Yeah. And I was like, well, what was going on? How many people did you want? What was needed? Because like the cost of running a summit like that is pretty low, I think, right? I mean, especially to cancel it 2 days before. I just found that surprising.
You know, that tells me that there was a lack of potentially, and I don't know this person, but I've done 375 summits. Okay. I've produced that many. If that's happening, then there's a breakdown either in the speakers that they attracted and brought in, meaning that out of the 20 or 30 speakers, more than half didn't actually promote during the promo period. Or there's a lack of planning and they didn't get everything ready in time for the speakers to actually promote. And that's a big problem. So I actually tack on a 6-week window. I call it the runway prior to a summit launch. So if your summit goes live on like September 1st, then 6 weeks out, everything is ready to go. And then you have a speaker kickoff call where you run the speakers through everything they need to do to learn how to promote your summit. And I give them everything they need, including like a whole document of like, here's how, this is what you can do, all these different opportunities. I basically step-by-step walk them through how to promote a summit if they've never done it before or anything. And then the follow-up is there, right? And there's incentivization usually to promote because there's, instead of it being transactional, like you may never have known who that summit host was. You probably never even like met them before potentially, right? And that means that you may be, not you personally, I'm talking like you as a like bigger group. If you don't get to know who your summit guests are, like your speakers, then you're not creating that community. You're creating transaction. Nobody likes to feel transactional. Nobody likes to promote transactionally. So you have to build that community, get to know who your speakers are and so on, so that when it comes time to promote, you're at the top of their calendar, you're at the top of their list. So they actually do it as opposed to you being an afterthought.
Well, obviously that's important. You know, I guest on a lot of podcasts, probably one or two, maybe even three a week.
Yeah.
And so I've always got something to promote. There is no shortage of things that people want me to promote every day. Mark, promote this. Mark, promote that. And I shared that I was going to be part of this summit, but I just don't have the bandwidth to go out of my way to promote at great length every single thing that I'm doing.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not in which, by the way, doesn't mean I won't promote it, something I'm going to be a part of. I will, but like, I'm not going to start a DM campaign or do all this work, you know, especially, which by the way, there was no sort of cost share or value share to me. I was showing up to help them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, well, what's in it? Selfishly, what's in it for me? Mm-hmm. You know, I get maybe introduced to some new people, maybe, you know.
You brought up something really, really good there. And it's something that I do in the events, like in the summits, is I incorporate networking and like group community building within the speakers themselves. So, and then I create a whole spreadsheet where the speakers fill it out. And then we ask people, what do you want? And what can you give? Right? Everybody wants exposure. And usually more than half of the speakers have a podcast. So automatically we see podcast swaps. What can you give? I can give, like, I can help people with this, or I can help people with that, or I can have a call or whatever. And we start forming these subgroups where people are actually supporting and assisting each other. This is where the speakers get the value, because honestly, giving them some VIP affiliate income really isn't going to move the needle for them. But getting in front of other people they could possibly be in the room with, you know, podcast swap, network with, this can be game changing. Because one of the summits that I just did about 2.5 months ago, the host ended up getting a paid speaking gig because she said, I want more paid speaking opportunities. Anybody know anybody? And somebody's like, I'm running a conference in March. They're like, hook me up. Paid speaking gig. Boom. Done. Right. So stuff like that comes from these things. So if you can create that with your speakers and also your registrants in some way, shape, or form, everybody's going to get some value.
I really like that networking idea, because there was none of that in the event that I was going into. Someone messaged me. They said, lock in this day. I said, okay.
Yeah, it just sounds transactional.
It was very transactional. That's right. There was no relationship. There was no networking. It was an acquaintance from LinkedIn. But I agree. If I would have been sucked in, I felt more emotional. I felt more hyped. Maybe I was in an event. But that's the other thing is, you know, you don't want too many like pre-events before the event too. You know, so it's finding that right balance. It's finding the right balance.
It is. The balance is there. You can create. I usually do the speaker kickoff call and networking about 4 weeks before the summit's supposed to go live. And that allows enough time for people to get to know each other. And no, you don't overfill your event or pre-event with a ton of stuff. It just like, honestly, nobody has time for it. But I can spend 45 minutes getting to know other speakers if I feel like there's some cool people.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But, and I think, you know, having some structure as to when these, you know, when is the event happening? When am I inviting people? Mm-hmm. When am I having my networking event? How much time am I going to spend during that networking event explaining about the event? How much time is it going to be sharing from the speaker? So there's, I can tell that there's a lot of formula to all of this. And at the end of the day, I host a summit. What is my goal?
Your goal is always to build your email list, connect with your ideal client. That's it. If you make money off of a summit, you're ahead. Now, some of the summits that I do are super involved and we get like $80,000 in sponsorships. And we pre-sell programs and services for like, you know, we sell hundreds of thousands of dollars. But the simplicity of it, even if you're just starting out and you don't have access to this kind of higher level stuff, build your list. My first summit got me 358 registrants. I built a six-figure business off of that. Then I leapfrogged from that to building more and more and more, right? But email list building, that's the goal.
Well, congrats on your success, Jenny. Thanks for kind of opening my eyes to something I don't talk about too much, which is this summit topic. Love email list building. Even if you don't have a CRM, by the way, people, you should at the very least be keeping a spreadsheet with your emails and your names. Do not miss that. Oh man, if I could have 18 months of my newbie days back, I would have not missed that. But don't miss that. We've been talking with Miss Jenny Wright at jennywright.com. You can go check her out there and start building your list today. Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you so much.